This episode is recorded in front of a live audience.
Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller.
And Matt Barris.
Well, Matt. Okay. Well, Matt. I've just started taking Butters, Mr. Butters, to the groomer. And do y'all know who Mr. Butters is? Mr. Butters is my cat. And this is a story. And this story is going to fold into my good day. And it's going to go a little sideways for a second.
Okay, we're used to this.
And then you're going to say, how is this her good day? And then by the end, you're going to say, oh, now I understand. And then you're going to say, she's a little crazy. So Mr. Butters is a Selkirk Rex cat. He's very hairy. He has lots of hair. And I keep after it because I like a tidy house and I brush them almost every day and I vacuum almost every day and it's still just not enough. So have you ever tried to find a cat groomer? It's not that easy. And so I found a cat groomer in a different town. So I take Butters to the cat groomer. Now this was months ago. So many of you are going to be able to relate to this story, even if you don't have a cat. So I take Mr. Butters to the cat groomer, and I'm telling you, the cat groomers are all business. They are not there to play around. They are not there to make jokes. They're grooming cats. So I take Mr. Butters in to get the cat to get groomed. And I'm like, wow, they're serious about this. And I leave him, and I come back to pick up Mr. Butters, and they show me the amount of hair. I said, oh, wow, you got a lot of hair from Mr. And she's like, yep. And then she says, I could have made two other cats with the amount of hair that I got from Mr. Butters. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. Thank you. And at this point, you know, she's not humored by me at all. I'm like, she doesn't want to be my friend. Like, and she will remain, the town will remain nameless, and she will remain nameless. Anyway, I'm so thankful for her. And so I go up to the register, and her cohort, this guy says, that'll be $106. That's what I did. And I said, oh, maybe I need to go back to poodles. Like, the poodle was 45. I said, did you say $106? He said, yeah, I did. And I said, okay. Wow, you guys did a really great job. Thank you so much. And I paid the $106 and I left. I was like, wow, $106 for the cat. So about 3 days later, I'm driving down the road. I'm caffeinated. And I've got the music on. And it dawns on me that I didn't tip the cat groomer. The amount shocked me so much. That I was like, how can I tip on to, I didn't think about the tip until 3 days later. So I'm telling you, and this is the part we're all going to relate with, I think. Have you ever had something that goes through your mind several times over and over and over again for a long time? So I'll be folding Daryl's work pants, his Wranglers from Walmart, and I'll think to myself, I feel so bad I didn't tip that cat groomer. I will be driving down the road, and I'll think, oh, the cat groomer. I'll be down at Walnut Creek Cheese getting groceries, and I'll say, oh, that I didn't tip that cat groomer. And for months, the cat groomer has been on my mind, that I did not tip the cat groomer. Like, I'm a jerk. I didn't tip the cat groomer. So the other day, it just so happened, I was in the town of the cat groomer, and I thought, I'm whipping in there. I'm going to go into the cat groomer, and I'm going to just make it right.
Oh, no.
So I roll in, and I come in the door, and I have my hands out, and I'm like, I have been thinking about you. And she looks at me like, what? Like, I literally cocks her head, and she's like, you have? And I did not know who I was. I said, yes. And she said, okay. And I said, okay, I am Mr. Butters' mom. And she's like, wow, this lady is lost her last nut. And I said, I was in here months ago. You got enough hair off of him to make two separate cats. It would cost $106. It took me by surprise. I left here without tipping you. And then a look came across her face like, I know exactly who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I said...
She's like, we've been talking about you.
And I said, listen, I am here to make it right. Now, I don't have any cash on me.
Oh, heavens.
And I know this could feel really weird, but I want to make another appointment for him. And then when I come in, it's going to be like double tip day. But it's not really double tip day because I didn't give you the tip from back then, but I'm going to tip you the next time I'm in. So I'm going to tip you for last time and the next time. And it's just going to be a great day. Can I make his appointment? And she's like, make it with him. So I make the appointment. And I'm like so happy. And I walk out and literally I pushed those. It was like a movie. I pushed the cat groomer's doors open.
Oh my goodness.
And I walked out into the street and I literally was like this going across the street. Because I was like, I took care of the cat groomer. These are good days. I won't have this on my mind. This won't cross my mind anymore. I don't know how much I'm going to tip her, but probably $20 each time. But it was $106 plus 20. That's a lot. But I'm only taking them every 3 months, so that's not too bad. And that was my good day.
The irony is, I feel like there were some people's bad days folded into your good days. And I think you have a reputation at the cat groomer.
The look across her face was like, oh, I know who you are.
Oh,
you're
my
goodness. Mr. Butters didn't tip me, lady.
That is hilarious.
Uh-huh. That's well, it. That was my good day.
Mr. Butters, good luck at your next appointment.
Good
we
luck
hope
at
they
your
take
next...
care of you. I don't know what happens when you drop off that cat, okay. But I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I know that was a long story, but that was my good day.
That's
I'm not
so
going to have it on my mind anymore. And I just want to encourage you, if you have something that keeps coming to mind, just do it. Make the
Listen,
phone
we've talked about this before. Remember when the dentist was calling me?
Yes.
And I wouldn't answer the phone,
yes.
And they wanted to make an appointment. And then finally I was like,
why
I answered the phone and I made an appointment. Why did I not answer the phone?
I don't know.
Took 2 minutes.
I don't know.
Like, why do I do that?
I don't
that?
Know, but...
Or pay the bill.
I made it right with
pay
the cat.
Pay the bill, make the appointment, tip people.
I made it right with
These
the cat
good
groomer.
Days.
What's your good
Hey,
day?
Here's my good day. I've said this one before, but I'll say it again. Is my Skyline guys. So our friend Mike, who's in the room that's doing the sound, he is a Skyline guy. And January Skyline guy Eric was in the audience. And Skyline guys, it's a group of guys who's... My wife loves Skyline, but not all the women love Skyline. So we a couple times a year we go... Hey,
I don't
let's,
like it.
You have not tried it.
Well,
we go
I
through this
it.
Every time.
I know.
We're not going down this path.
Okay,
you just need to try it.
Okay,
with me.
All right. I need to eat it correctly,
we'll take
I guess.
Kelly Brownlee, your pastor.
Okay.
She loves it. Here's the thing. Here's what I love about Skyline Guys. So the Skyline Guys is all, it is about Skyline. It is about the food. I could talk about the food. It's Cincinnati chili, lots of cheese, hot sauce, oyster crackers. Praise the Lord. However... It is not just about Skyline.
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 If
you
are
listening. Listen, I slid into Skyline's DMs.
Yeah? How'd that go?
And I said, there's a group of... I tagged them. They talk to me. They have yet to give me anything. But I think they need to sponsor the Skyline guys.
Yes,
and we will
I
story
agree.
About it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. This is why it's a good day, besides eating good food. The Skyline guys, we all have kids around the same age. You know, something happens when there's seven men in a Honda Odyssey driving 40 minutes one way. Usually,
and eating
this is
chili.
What this is. Well, the ride home is not to be mentioned. The texting at the end. So here's the. There's some serious parts to this, and there's some not serious parts. The serious part is usually on the way out. It's a lot of joking, a lot of silliness.
Right.
But you know what? What happens is. This time around the table, this is where the serious part comes in. This time around the table, I was sitting across from Mike and our friend Nate was sitting next to him. And I said, okay, guys, I have a fourth grader. They have kids around my kid's age. I was like, what are we doing about the sex talk?
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Okay, we can't do that two times. Okay. We can't afford the royalties. So we, you know, we're eating chili, but the invisible part of this is it's not about Skyline. It's
right.
about getting
right.
around people
right.
that you love, that you trust, that we're like, hey, I have a fourth grade boy. What are we saying? We say real words. Our friend Nate's wife is an OBGYN nurse, so they say all the real words. Like, they say the real, real words. They know where the parts are. Like,
I believe
we're kind of vague. We're kind of like, you know, Pigpen on Charlie Brown. Like, there's a little cloud, but you kind of know what's in there. That's kind of where we are. But their family is like Expo markers and whiteboards. Like, so that there's a little variance there. But what I love about it is, you know, to get seven guys around and say, hey, how are we navigating the sex thing? And I anticipate we're going to say, how are we navigating the social media thing? How are we doing college visits? Mm-hmm. How, you know,
right.
To have those people in your corner right. Where you can, you know, bounce ideas off, where we're like strategizing.
Right.
You know, I'm not drawing parts. I'm not doing that.
Right.
But I thank you for the suggestion.
Right.
But that's not where I'm headed. That's the invisible part of the Skyline guys for
right.
me. It's more than just that. And then the second part that's silly is I boasted that I never get affected by Skyline. Pride comes before a fall. Mallory, I think I went to bed at 3 a.m. that morning.
Wow.
I was like indigestion, upset stomach. What's that? That
indigestion,
upset stomach. All that stuff. I'm wearing the pink shirt. But I was up. There were texts about bathroom issues between the men. You know, it's a whole 24-hour experience. We're texting about anticipating, and then we're texting on the way down. So
Pepto-Bismol, if you are listening.
Hey, so get you some Skyline guys. Men that you can talk about silly,
yes.
Well, friends that you can talk about silly stuff with. Text about your bathroom issues.
Because
those are real friends right there.
Yeah, there it is.
Hey, we are sitting again in the beautiful Be Fearless, but we're in the middle of Ohio's Amish country.
Yes.
And you know, Leanne, you recently went away for about 3 weeks to Hilton Head.
Actually, it was a whole month, Matt.
A whole month. Well, I rounded down.
Yeah, well, it was a whole month. it was so nice.
But you know what? So we talked on the phone. Well, we talked a lot on the phone, but we talked on the phone about how Ohio's Amish country is your home.
Yes. Listen, I'm a phone talker. Like, when did we stop talking on the phone? Like,
I agree.
I want to talk on the phone. Like, I want to hear your voice. I want to talk on the phone. I mean, I like to text. I text with the best of them. But I also like to talk on the telephone.
Yeah.
So I will text Matt and be like,
but
hey,
I'll say,
I'd like to call you because I have an idea.
Okay. I'll say you're 55.
True.
And sometimes I don't love when you answer the phone in your car and you're like, hello? Sounds like you're in a vacuum.
Yeah,
where are you?
It's the
are
Bluetooth.
You in the space station?
It's
I'm
the
like,
blue.
What
it's,
are you doing?
It's the Bluetooth. And I have a tendency, I don't know if other people do this too, but I have a tendency if it's Bluetooth, like I'm louder. I'm like, hi! And I'm trying.
It's so true.
Our youngest son was riding with me one day and he's like, Mom, you don't need to put your mouth up by the speaker. Because I'm like, what are you doing?
I'm glad I don't watch that. I'm on the other end. It's kind of like when you look for directions and you turn down the volume because you're just looking. Why are you turning down the volume? I don't know. But we mentioned that you, Ohio's Amish country is your home.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I want to kick off with that because we want to talk a little bit about Amish country, but really the values
and home. What makes
and what
home.
That really yeah. means. So can you talk a little bit, like, we don't really have time for the whole Daryl story.
No.
But you know, I'll tell the quick version because
okay.
I don't know
do
if
it.
I trust you to do a quick
okay.
version. But you and Daryl met in Ohio's Amish country.
Yes.
He was
right
here.
Over there, right
yeah.
over the hill.
Give me some space. I'm going to tell your story. So you met, Daryl was putting in a chimney for your family, and mm-hmm. you were like, hey, there's that boy with the Amish britches.
I'm like, I want to check out that fire.
Yeah, so she, okay.
See, fireplace.
Okay, this
get
is
it?
Too spicy. You know, I've already had to do some disclaimers at the beginning of one of our episodes. But so, she, you know, you woke up at 4 a.m., you did the big hair, the mm-hmm. red lipstick.
Yes,
and
I did.
A month later,
yes,
you were married.
Days.
28 days. Yeah. On Christmas Day, you got
yep.
married in Switzerland.
Yep.
But you and your husband, Daryl, grew up here.
Yep.
Your family, you grew up here. And you decided that this is your home.
Right.
What are the things, I'm going to let you kick it off, When you say Ohio's Amish country is your home, what does that mean for you, and what are the values that you love about living here?
Well, I would say that part of this is my own family of origin, right? So how I was raised and my family and how my family has operated as a unit. So when I met Daryl and we got married and we started our life together, very quickly I realized that his family operated differently.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are the obvious things here in Amish country that are lovely, like the slower pace of life and the Amish buggies and the quality of the goods. And when you buy a piece of furniture, it's a sturdy, well-built piece of furniture. And there's those obvious things. But Daryl has had the same set of friends, basically the same set of friends since he was young. And when we have had certain things go on in our life, and even Daryl has had certain things happen, those guys are the first guys showing up.
They're like his skyline guys.
They're the first guys calling. They're the first guys there. They're coming over. We had a really hard thing happen in our family, and his one friend called and said, "Hey, you know, Daryl's nephew was getting married, and we weren't going to go to the wedding because it was just this really hard thing." And his friend called and said, "You know, come to the wedding and hang out with me, and your dad's going to be preaching." And he said, "And I think it'd be real good for you mm-hmm. to just be in the room." Mm-hmm. And so when Daryl and I started talking about when we downsized and we sold our business and we bought a little place in Worcester, which is a little town about 30 minutes from right where we're sitting, and we talked about, like, let's just camp out here for a minute. This can be our rest area. We bought a little condo. We called it a loft. And let's just sit here for a second and really decide what we want to do.
And right? I was nervous. Colorado was on the table.
Oh, yeah. Lots of different.
I was like, oh, no.
Hilton Head was on the table. Like, maybe we should just move to Hilton Head and really downsize.
And your boys were gone.
And our boys are gone. And we're just thinking about it all. And I love to do that. I love to just think about it all. Like, let's think about that. Let's think about that.
We know.
Yeah, okay.
We know.
And
we all know.
I think the cat groomer knows, too. Anyway, so what it boiled down to, what's so interesting, is what it really boiled down to, why we will always be here, is because of Daryl's friends mm-hmm. and because of his family unit. My friends will always be my friends. I will FaceTime. I will go back and forth. We'll always have community.
Listen,
because
our friend Emily is here from Nashville.
Yes.
And I told her, we haven't seen her in 5 years.
It's been a long time.
And on the way here, I said to my wife in the car, I said, man, it took us having a 79-episode podcast and an event to get Emily to come visit us. But she is still one of our lifers.
Yeah, she's been busy, man.
She's been busy.
And she is a lifer. But I think it also speaks to, you know, my husband does not, it took us forever to get him to move away from the flip phone. He had one of those construction, I don't know if any of your men have ever had those construction flip phones that, like, you could run a truck over. Like, he thought that thing was the best thing. And it was this big, hunky,
like
chunky. And the boys were like, Dad, if you get an iPhone, you can put a compass on it. You can put the weather on it for your hunting. You could hook your trail cams. That's what did it.
You could hook
your trail cams to
your
phone and look at the deer. And then Daryl went to Verizon and got an iPhone. And he would never, like, FaceTime his friends.
Yeah.
He would never use technology in a way that I would if I moved to South Carolina with my friends. So really what it boiled down to is home is our people.
100%.
Like, home is our people. Home is our community. Home is the people around us. And, you know, we've loved our home here in Walnut Creek. We love our home in Worcester. But really what it boils down to is the people.
Yeah.
So, and the quality of our friendships.
Yeah. And I remember when I lived with you guys, I don't know, you know, again, I'm going to tell a little story of this, is I was a youth pastor at Leanne and Daryl's church. And Leanne used to speak for the youth group and Daryl used to run the sound. And my roommate got married, and they were like, well, why don't you move in with us? And I was like, okay, like, you feed people well.
Well, and then your roommate lived with us for 3 weeks.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so I got to live at your home. I think I lived there for 2 years, and then I got married, and we just moved up the driveway to the apartment for about two more years.
It was so fun.
But I remember when I was at your home, we had a tornado that rolled through. You know, there was a pond in front of your house, and
I was in the basement in the bathroom. My husband and our youngest son, they were on the porch watching it.
And it literally went across the property, right? Across your property.
Well, I don't know. I was in the basement. What they told me was that they watched it. They saw the debris and everything, and they watched it go across.
Yeah, and from where we were, there was a barn that's at the bottom of that pond.
At that
huge barn, it literally lifted the roof off and, like, destroyed it.
Yeah, and a tree fell through the house. And
it was a huge thing. And I'll never forget, within 2 hours, there were probably 80 bicycles parked around around that barn.
People already cleaning up the debris. And
honestly, I think it was women were cleaning the yard, and a lot of the men started how are we going to rebuild this?
Yeah.
And I remember that story thinking, I love that. That part of community that I think if you don't know, the Amish call us English because we speak English, not because we're British, but because we speak English and they speak Pennsylvania Dutch. And I remember thinking, oh, we're missing something. You know, we're missing something as English people when we, and I do this. I put up the garage door and I drive in my car and I get out and I put down the garage door and I don't do a whole lot after that. You know, I'm in with my family.
Right.
And I think that's such a beautiful part of Amish culture that I appreciated.
This community,
is the community piece of it.
It's a whole other level of
absolutely
community. Absolutely.
And I also have really honored and respect the work ethic.
Oh.
And is this a weird thing to say? The cleanliness of
the tidiness.
The Amish and Mennonite community is unmatched.
Yeah.
You know, you go into probably the places you're sleeping tonight in your hotels and the stores we'll be in tomorrow are typically immaculate.
Yes.
Immaculate places. And I've always respected and honored that part about the Amish too.
Yeah. And, you know, when Matt told me we were going to talk about this,
we talked about it together.
Yeah, we talked about it together. But when you came to
but
me
But one
with
of
this,
us
I,
does have notes.
Yeah. When you came to me with the idea, I said, you know, Here's another thing I'd like to say. Amish people are people.
Yes.
They're human beings. They are not perfect.
Well, I think the tourism industry, you know, I was just talking to somebody tonight, is we live in a place, and Ohio's Amish country, it's one of the largest populations of Amish around. And I think the tourism industry has, in some ways, made Amish people as like characters, like at Disney. Oh, I worked it in. Disney,
if
you are
listening.
Because I think we can idolize their lifestyle or the curiosity, and it's a very them and us thing. And then they're like 2D people that we don't think are real.
Yeah, and also I think there's a level of pressure. Like, so if you're an Amish girl and you love fashion, good luck with that, sister. I mean, you might be able to pick a different color purple for your dress, but, I mean, you're not shopping at Be Fearless, right? So I don't think, and actually I was talking with one of you about this, one of my good friends that comes from Amish background, and she said, and it's really true, is that sameness is celebrated when you're Amish, being the same. Being different, if your husband's abusing you, or if you are in the LGBTQ community, if you are dealing with anything outside of the sameness, it's going to be real hard, and you're going to have a tough time. And I'll never forget a story with my father-in-law is as Amish as you can be Amish, and he's a bishop. I always say I could not have married the pig farmer's son. I'd married the bishop's son. So my father's a bishop, and he's also very well read. And I remember talking to him just about different things over the years. And he just has a different take on.
Would you be comfortable telling the story of when they moved a woman into their property?
Well, a couple things over the years that have happened. One of them was he knew firsthand of an Amish husband, an Amish man, that was abusing his family. And without going into too much detail, but it was the kind of abuse you can imagine. And my father-in-law called the police. He reported it. He called the police. It's very unusual. That's very unusual. They usually take care of all that thing, all those things within their church, within their belief. And you could think that's wonderful unless you're the woman being abused.
Right.
And if you're a man in Amish world, you have a lot more, I would say, authority. Wouldn't you say authority?
Power.
Like a lot more power.
They hold the power.
And if you're a woman, somebody just asked me this like 2 weeks ago. People ask me Amish questions all the time, and I'm like, I got the check. I'm not sure. But somebody asked me, do you think more boys leave than girls in the Amish? I'm like, well, absolutely. You know, because they get their license easier. They get their work truck. And it's the whole idea of that they're a guy, they're a man. For a girl, it's a lot harder. It's a lot, and it's a lot even scarier to go get your license. You know, she's not driving a work truck with, you know, three or four guys and driving them to work, because a lot of these men don't drive. A lot of Amish workers don't drive, and so they have a driver. So if you have a teenage, an Amish guy who's 19 and he goes and gets his license, well, he'll drive your work crew. So it's a lot easier for him to say, I like this drive-in business. I think I might not go Amish.
Well, I remember when I met Daryl for the first time. And Daryl's not a gregarious, charismatic person like you. This is why you guys work.
Yeah.
What do you say? You're the wind and he's the kite string.
No, Miriam said that years ago. She said, I'm the kite and he's the string.
He's the string. He holds you down in a good way.
In a good way.
But I remember...
he just keeps me from floating clear off into the...
I remember asking Daryl when I was getting to know you guys. I remember we were outside by his truck. I don't remember what we were doing. But I said, Daryl, why did you choose to become English? Why did you choose to leave the Amish and not follow the Amish tradition? And he got real quiet, like Daryl does.
Yeah, and pause.
And he pauses. And we call him the finisher.
Yeah, and also the pause lasts long enough that you're like,
did he forget?
Did he hear me?
He's quiet, and I'm like, man, he's coming up with something real good. I can't wait. This is going to be like theology. It's going to be like really meaty. And he goes, well, Matt, I wanted to drive a truck. And I went, okay, that's a good enough answer for me. That's
exactly right.
And he probably wanted to marry you, too.
I hope so.
But can you, I know we've briefly talked about this before on the podcast, but can you share a little bit about what merging your lives together is like, and what does it look like to honor your husband's family, and what does it look like for you guys to live in community with Amish people?
I didn't know you were going to ask this. I think
you should have read the notes. Just saying.
Yeah, I think we should ding ding that.
There's three pages.
You know, I was thinking about this. I was just thinking about this week, because we went to an Amish wedding.
Mm.
And my father-in-law was there, and he spoke some of the time. And I was thinking about how... Oh, this could make me emotional.
That's okay.
Darn it. I wanted you to be the only one that cried. You know, we want people to respect us, right?
Mm.
And we've been married 32 years. And Daryl's mom and dad and Daryl have cultivated respect from me. It hasn't been like this drive-through window where, you know, you just give somebody your respect and it's like, that was fast. You know, they have just sown respect for me into my life. They have just shown me over and over and over, year after year, and get together after get together, that they are stable, constant, full of integrity and character people.
Yeah.
Honest people, good people will be there. Literally, we could call them at any time, day or night, and with a need, and they would be there for us.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that takes a while, right? And I think that... For me, it looks like I have a lot of respect and I have a lot of trust with them.
Do you remember my first Amish get-together that I went with you guys to?
I do. Matt, first of all, let me just tell you something. This is Matt's dream come true.
What?
Like this whole thing we're doing. You love to be in a room with people the people that are having fun, that want to be here. No. Well, when you go to an Amish get-together,
this
it is
does
not
feel
this.
Like an Amish get-together.
It is not this. So Matt was like, where is this at the Amish get-together? So we're at the
Amish get-together.
And I introduce him, and you know, and we leave, and he's like, they didn't like me. They're probably never going to invite me back. They didn't like me.
No one talked to me.
I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, nobody talked to me. And Mallory said one time, which I love this, she goes, babe, just because they didn't have a marching band for you.
How dare you?
But
this is very vulnerable right now for me.
He's like, they didn't like me. I know they didn't like me. I'm like, yes, they did. And then it was so sweet. The next time you went to a get-together, my mother-in-law, he mentioned something that was his favorite thing.
And listen, I'm still talking to people. I'm like, hey, Esther. So, what'd you make in those potatoes? And Esther's like... Or like, Ruth, that pie is really good. You know, my mom makes a really good coconut cream pie, too. What do you do in the... Adam. I don't know.
Adam's
not a name. Whatever.
Yeah, more like John.
You know, I'm still trying to, like, do my thing and, like, get to know people. It is not reciprocated,
my
friends.
It's not working. It's not working.
No.
Yeah.
And so I came home, and I was like...
They don't like me.
I don't want to go. I'm never going back. So you can pick it up.
So... The next get together, they're like, "Is Matt coming?" I'm like, "Oh, you mean the guy you don't like?" No, I didn't say that.
No.
Where's Matt?
Yeah. Let's talk about Matt. Let's talk about Matt behind his back. Let's talk about Matt when he's not in the room. Let's not make eye contact with Matt. This is like my personal hell. It's like everyone talk about Matt without saying that you like Matt or treat him like you like him. It's like every insecurity that I have manifesting in one Amish get together. Amish people, if you are listening, let's change this together. I will be a consultant for your Amish get-together.
Listen, it really speaks to the sameness, though.
You know,
it's the sameness.
It is.
No, nobody's coming up to Matt like, hey, aren't you a pastor? Aren't you a youth pastor?
You seem different. Let's talk. Yeah, that doesn't happen.
No, not happening. But the next time he came, my mother-in-law, he mentioned something that was his favorite, and she made it for him. And Matt was like, she likes me!
So if you ever find yourself in a situation with an Amish person, and the first time doesn't go so great, but the second time they bring you a coconut cream pie, you're in.
Yes.
That's the way they show you love.
Yes.
But I think for me it was like, just like be nice to my face. Like... Just say, like, Matt, side hug. Like, I was a youth pastor. I don't need a full frontal, just a little side.
There's just a little side hug. No, they're not happening.
Something.
No,
but
hugging.
It just doesn't happen.
I don't know the answer to this of why, but there's not a ton of, like, hugging or affection, really. You know, I remember one time at a get-together, oh, gosh, if my father and mother-in-law listened to this podcast. But I remember one time at a get-together, I saw my father-in-law give Ida like a little pat.
I
was like, oh yeah, there's affection there.
Totally.
But there's not a lot of public affection or hugging in public or anything like that.
You know, and I think, you know, to bring it back to something more serious is I think what the issues and the problems in the world are universal, right?
Oh.
So I think there's a... You know, I grew up in a pretty conservative tradition. Clearly, Amish is way more conservative than I was raised. But I think sometimes, you know, we do that there's good intention. Listen, I have a fourth grader. He's asking about phones. We're talking about sleepovers.
Yes.
I understand wanting to insulate your kids from certain things. I totally get that.
Right.
But we really can't insulate from everything.
Right.
Like the world... is going to happen, and there's going to be hard things that happen.
Right.
And I think The Amish are not different than us in that
no.
way. The Amish experience heartbreak and love. They experience medical things with their kids. They're not exempt from that.
Exactly.
And so I think sometimes we do idolize. I don't mean that in like a really serious way.
We admire, or
there's maybe the fascination, but I think at the end of the day, we're all humans and we're all people.
Right.
So Leanne, this has been so fun.
It has been so fun.
We've laughed a lot.
We have laughed a lot.
That's really good. You know, I do have to say one more thing because I want to ring the bell again.
Oh.
There's someone in the room that just shared with me at our break. She said, Matt, me and my husband are going on a trip soon to Walnut Creek, California. We're sitting in Walnut Creek, Ohio.
Okay.
And she said, I have to let you know we're staying at our first Embassy Suites because of you.
Embassy Suites, if you are listening,
you know we love you. Listen, y'all, we have a contact at the Hilton marketing department. So, like, if our collective prayers...
Yes.
Can get us to them.
Pastor, if you can conclude that in the prayer
at the end. You know, this is why we love these events, why we love this community is it's so fun to look around the room and think, oh my gosh, we've talked online. I feel like I know a little bit about your life. And that's just a really cool part of what this is. You know, we have talked about, especially, I hate talking about COVID, but post-COVID, I think there's a desire for community in a maybe new and fresh way.
Yes, I would agree with that.
And I think we do want to be together in the same room. And so I love that we've gotten to sit in the room tonight with like 70 of our friends and enjoy our time together.
Yes.
So, hey, before we leave, tomorrow, so whenever this airs, the timeline's going to be off, just so you know. But as part of this weekend, we're going to be shopping at Walnut Creek Cheese tomorrow. And they are a friend and a sponsor of the podcast.
We love them.
And they have just supported us so well.
You know, their candy section, don't miss that tomorrow.
No,
where all the candy is.
Listen,
all the gummies. They have old-fashioned candy. Remember the bullseye candy with the nugget in the center? They have old-fashioned, more kind of old-fashioned candy there. And it's all bulk. I love bulk things. I love things in bulk.
Well, it's big.
Yeah.
You like me because I'm a bulky guy.
But they really have a beautiful store. We're going to spend a nice amount of time there tomorrow,
absolutely.
And they really do a nice job.
Hey, well, thanks for joining us in this conversation about really your family and the Amish and how important community is to you and your family. And really, I'm thankful because the community is keeping you in Ohio.
Yes.
Because, one, I can't do virtual podcasts. We tried that. It didn't work out too great.
It's not the greatest. I will say, before we end, Ohio's Amish country is... A lot of people think that Lancaster, Pennsylvania is the largest Amish community in the country. It isn't. It's Ohio. It's Holmes County. We are the largest population.
So take that.
Yeah, we have the... Lancaster. Yeah! It's the pit bull. No, I...
What?
I don't know.
Don't bring him into this.
But we have the largest population of Amish, and also we kind of go back and forth with Cedar Point of being the number one tourist attraction in the state.
Fascinating.
And also, National Geographic, just a few years ago, named us the third most popular place for fall foliage in the world. Ohio's Amish country is beautiful. The landscape's beautiful. But it is a wonderful place to come and shop at places like Be Fearless and Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, Coblenz Chocolate, we're going there tomorrow. And it's a wonderful place to visit, to shop. You can come and make a weekend just of shopping.
Absolutely.
So I really feel like if we do this again, we really have to shop the next day because it's going to be so fun.
Yeah. Hey, well, thanks again. And let's end it how we always do. Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that
these are good days.